Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you need more than anything else? What would be the number one thing on your wish list? If you could only ask for one thing in the whole world, what would it be? 1 Corinthians 13, our epistle reading for today, tells us what we really need, what is necessary more than anything else. It says here in the opening verses, there in epistle reading, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." That's how Paul opens this wonderful chapter in the Bible on love. He tells us how important and necessary it is, that we must have it, that we must have love. Knowledge, wisdom, prophetic powers should not stand apart from love. Even Scripture says in Galatians chapter 5 that faith is to be active in love. But what is love? Paul answers that question in the next verse. He tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what this love is that we should have and that we need. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now we might, especially after Valentine's Day, be more likely to think of love as something like we talk about when we say falling in love, like something you see in a movie or read in a novel, a deep, passionate, emotional attachment to another person. But that isn't what is described here. Here we have a description of selfless sacrifice. Love forgets about me, about myself, and turns instead from me to someone else. And the person who loves then is patient with the person who sins against them, willing to bear with them, even at great personal cost. And the person who loves does not boast about all that he or she does to care for another, all the things that they have done. Love is willing to set aside personal preferences and does not insist on its own way. Love is not out to get what I want for me. Love desires the glory of God and the care of my neighbor. Does this mean, then, that a loving person simply lets the person do and get whatever they want? Do we just allow others to do anything and have anything? Notice here that love, it says, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love doesn't just live and let live. Love does what is commanded in Galatians 6:1. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Love doesn't turn a blind eye to wrongdoing. It doesn't rejoice in it. It doesn't embrace it and say it's okay. When a fellow Christian is living in unrepentant sin, love doesn't rejoice in that wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth and so tells the truth about that sin. And so love is willing to also then bear the abuse that might come from the correction. But even the correction, the sharing of God's word, the calling to repentance, to turn from sin when we see wrongdoing, is done for the building up of a brother or sister in Christ and for the building up of the whole church. So love is not, then, an emotional, erotic obsession with another person, but rather a willingness to sacrifice oneself for the good of the other person. A commitment to the other person's welfare, to care for them, to give them what they need, what is best for them. Not always what they want, but what is good for them, what will serve them and love them. And love knows what is good for them from God's word. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. With those words, Paul concludes his definition here of what love is. And what do those words mean? Love bears with much personal offense and difficulty in this world of sin. A person continues to love and care for others even when they're faced with much rejection, even when there aren't any earthly rewards for giving out love and care to another person, when there are no compliments, no promotions, no bonuses, when there's nothing in it for me. Love still gives and serves and cares. Now, the passage also says here that love not only bears all things, but also believes all things and hopes all things. This doesn't mean that love believes falsehood and holds on to false hopes. This means that the individual who loves continues to believe and trust in God in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of all things. So when it says believes all things, that person holds on to the love of God in Christ and trusts that, and trusts what God says that is good, and is good for them, and is good for others in the midst of all things. Love believes in the midst of all things. You could understand this. And it also hopes all things. That is, does not set its hope on false hopes, but hopes in Christ and in God's promises, and believes that God's promises are real and true, and that God will give us all that we need and all that is good and is best for us. He will provide us with life and hope. He will provide us with eternal life and resurrection. In the midst of whatever difficulty and trouble and obstacle we may face in this sinful world before eternity, love believes and trusts in our Lord and hopes in Him and His promises in the midst of all the difficulties of this world. The person who loves has his faith and trust in the firm foundation of our Lord and His promises, even when all other institutions on this earth fail. Not faith and hope in the things of this world, not ultimate faith and hope, but above all other things, faith and hope in our Lord. So what is it that you really need more than anything else? It's love. Wouldn't you want to have such a love so that you are patient and not short-tempered? That you are kind and not self-serving, that you are content and humble rather than envious or boastful, that you are never irritable or resentful, that you rejoice in the truth, that you bear all kinds of suffering with patience, that you believe and trust in our Lord, in His gifts, even in the midst of great suffering and difficulty. How shall we have such a love? How shall we get it? Can we simply acquire this sort of love by working harder at it, by making a plan to get more love, by changing some habits? 1 John 4:10 tells us, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That is how we know love. That is where we must first receive love. Is from our Lord. Because that is the definition of love, is Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. That is where we see and know love, and that is where we receive love. And the love that changes us and makes us new. That's where we have to look first, is to our Lord, to receiving His love in Christ. And in our gospel reading for today, we see this Lord on the way to the cross, to be the propitiation for our sins. He tells His disciples for the third and last time before His crucifixion that He will suffer, die, and rise from the dead. He is willing to sacrifice Himself to pay for our sins. He is willing to be mocked and humiliated, and he does not boast about himself or his deeds and his teachings. He goes into this suffering knowing what is coming. It's not a mistake that he goes to the cross. Jesus has the power to stop it all and to get down from the cross, but thanks be to God that he didn't. That he stayed up there because he loved you and because he wanted you in his kingdom. He wanted you to be saved and to have eternal life. He wanted you to receive his love and forgiveness. And for that love to make you new so that you give out his love to others. And at the same time that Jesus went to the cross to suffer and die, knowing what would happen to him at the hands of all those religious leaders, Jesus still, in love, when he went to Jerusalem, dared to still there correct and rebuke with patience the false teaching of the religious leaders. That was good for them, it was good for those who heard, and it's still good for us. That Jesus still rejoiced not in wrongdoing or false teaching, but rejoiced with the truth. He patiently took then the abuse and the mockery that came to him as a result of his teaching of the truth of the Word of God. Even as people spit on him and whipped him, even as they put a crown of thorns on his head and a robe on him, he doesn't defend himself, he doesn't explain, he doesn't fight back. Only to answer some questions from Pilate about who he is. But in large part, he remains silent to the accusations that are leveled against him and confesses himself to be the Christ. And then they nail him to the cross, and he doesn't cry out for their destruction, but still lives in love and says instead, "Oh, Father, destroy them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And indeed, suffering on the cross, Jesus is dying for the sins of the whole world, including the very sins of the very people who are mocking him and beating him and who drove nails into his hands and his feet. He is bearing their sins for them. He is bearing for them the punishment of the Father for their wrongs. He is doing good to them, and he's repaid with evil. Jesus, though, in the midst of that, is patient with them, bearing with them, enduring suffering for them, so that their sins and also your sins might be fully paid for and washed away. He is living in love, not for himself, but for you and for me, and even for the people who hate him. And perhaps some of those who did this later believed. Perhaps they repented, and they did not continue in their unbelief. And perhaps some did not and continued in their unbelief. Nevertheless, still Jesus died as the full payment for their sins, even if they later would reject it. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this sacrifice of the Son of God, we see love. Warm, fuzzy feelings will go away. Chocolates will get eaten, romantic love will fade away, and lovers will leave or die. The flowers will fade, the Valentine Day cards will be forgotten. The flattery and the affirmation will be forgotten as well. But the love of God in Christ Jesus on the cross will stand forever. That love means life for sinners like us. That love gives new birth in the waters of holy baptism. That love feeds you today in the Lord's Supper. That love lasts forever, even when all other loves, all other human loves, fade away. This love is a deep, self-sacrificing commitment to us, even when we sin and go astray, and when we do not reciprocate that love. This love of God in Christ Jesus is not like human erotic love that flames hot and dies away. This love of God for His people is a commitment to saving us even when we were His enemies. This love is a commitment to us even when that means suffering and bearing thorns and nails and pain and death. This love is the love that you need today more than anything else. This is the love that we all need each and every day, each and every week. You don't need the cheap substitutes for love. You don't need the flattery that tells you you're okay and everything you do is good, even when it isn't. You don't need the embrace and acceptance of every lifestyle choice and vice. You don't need, above all, an erotic experience to excite your passions. You and I and the whole world need, above all, the love of God in Christ Jesus. That love that is seen on the cross. That love that you receive today in God's word of forgiveness and in the Lord's Supper. If you could have one and only one thing, the thing that we really need at the top of our wish list, that we should desire above all, is to have as much of the self-sacrificing love of God in Christ Jesus. This love saves us. This love is poured out for you today in the Lord's Supper. And this love goes out to others through you. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.